This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, December 1st, 2010. I'm Caleb Brown. The FDA will soon receive broad new powers under a bill moving through Congress, but it's worth considering the powers the FDA already has and how the use of those powers threatens to undo all kinds of unique artisanal foods, kinds of foods that aren't produced in giant factories. Walter Olson, a senior fellow at the Cato Institute, evaluates the FDA's current and future powers. We spoke Monday.
Yeah, the premise of the food safety bill is that we should all be attaining the bacteria-free levels of the most advanced factories, but not everyone wants to eat food from the most advanced factories. We've got a world of food out there that includes old-fashioned cooks, artisans, small farms, which often have a different way, an older way of doing things, not necessarily any more dangerous than cooking the food in our own kitchen, but something that's very hard to fit into what the FDA wants as far as parts per million or parts per billion, regular testing and inspection, 5 years worth of paperwork, and all of the rest of the trappings.
Specifically with the example of artisanal cheeses that are made in the United States, where is the conversation, if there is one, where is that?
Well, this is going on under laws that we already have on the books because the FDA already has a lot of powers to crack down on food makers. And in the state of Washington, it has raided a very small family-owned cheesemaking business, which happens to be an award-winning favorite of the foodies of the Northwest. And they found that there was a common form of bacteria named Listeria in their facilities. Listeria is found all over the place in farms and elsewhere, but it is not found in the best factories. And so when the woman who ran the cheese company defied them, and she said, it may be that I will recall some of my cheese, but I don't think that all of it is contaminated, was part of her point. They staged a raid and moved into her property and seized it. Now, the New York Times covered this, and it wasn't that easy to figure out how hazardous the product actually was. She had fans from the food world who were swearing on her behalf. No one has been made ill in any way that anyone can connect with the cheese, and yet the bacteria is worrisome, and that has to be considered. What I found most striking in the New York Times coverage was when they went out and spoke to a couple of experts, one of them from the University of Vermont, from a project that helps artisan cheesemakers, said that if the FDA rolls out this program of inspecting everyone's facilities for bacteria, this will close down what we know as the artisan cheesemaking sector, that it's just so common that this is a different way of making cheese and that they're not going to be found in compliance. And she said, do we want to think before we follow the regulations out to a point where we lose something that we may find very valuable?
And if you're looking at it from the purely regulatory perspective, it makes sense that you want to drive risks down to zero. But of course, there are risks that we should be able to accept if we want to.
Well, that is an interesting question because the FDA, of course, you go to work for the FDA believing idealistically that the lower you can get the count of food bacteria down, the better a job you are doing. But not everyone chooses to approach food in the same way. And when we cook for ourselves, we take risks sometimes. We don't always use the foods that we know have a 0% risk of spoilage because other foods taste good too. And the FDA, left to its own incentives as a regulatory agency, is probably going to minimize what it sees as hazards, even if we have a much less varied, much less interesting world of foods to choose from.
And that's part of the problem, is that it's hard to measure the value when you're doing regulatory analysis, the quality of the effect of regulations. It's hard to take account of the fact that certain products that people really like just won't be there anymore.
They will be gone and we'll wonder what happened to them, and it will probably be too late at that point. We mentioned cheese. There are a lot of other ones. Small farms, organic farmers are particularly worried about these things, but also imports. These regulations set up a cost structure. You might have to hire a lawyer for this thing. You certainly will have to keep records for that thing. And if someone is importing small quantities of an interesting foreign food, maybe not a high-risk food, maybe one that has never been linked to poisoning, but you're only importing small quantities, is it worth it to bear those regulatory costs? Same thing with food products that appeal to an ethnic clientele in this country. I think those will be driven out of the supermarket to the extent they're there in the first place because of this cost structure issue.
Most of what you've described deals with laws that are on the books. There are pieces of pending legislation that seek to give the FDA broader powers.
This year, Congress has been considering a bill that would massively expand FDA regulation and FDA powers. And the debate has gone back and forth between the advocates of small producers and their opponents, who include both the consumer groups who've generally opposed any exemptions for small producers and also big business, hand in glove, as so often happens with big government, which wants sweeping regulation so that it can get what it calls a level playing field, so everyone gets regulated just as hard. Now, the Senate is taking up a bill which has been improved at the last minute. They finally listened a little bit and put in parts of an amendment that would make life a little bit easier for the small producers. Does it go far enough? I doubt it. It's better that they're making the gesture than if they didn't, but I don't think it's going to prevent, probably, if the bill passes, the disappearance of a lot of variety in the years ahead.
Walter Olson is a senior fellow at the Cato Institute. You can read more of his work at cato.org.